must God suggest victory. He wanted you to know that we can have the victory. Move in accordance with the same. Be obedient. And until the next time, may God bless and may God keep is our humble prayer.
BC, Coco and Merritt Island. W-234, B-I, Coco and Vieira. W-264, A-S, Melbourne and Palm Bay.
Hello again. Pastor Derry here with Missions for Christ International. Our website is missionsforchrist.org. Let's start this program with prayer to God. O Lord God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We praise thy name. We praise you, God, creator of heaven and earth. We thank you for all the blessings you give to us. We pray that you'd bless each one listening to this program today, those that have heavy hearts, those that are looking to you for a word of encouragement. Bless them, I pray, and help me to preach your word, to teach it according to your will and to your way. We pray this in the precious name and great name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Last week I talked to you about how does one become a Christian. We talked about the need for faith, repentance of past sin, confession of Christ as Savior and Lord, baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and receiving the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Now today I would like to talk to you about the faith that is necessary for one to become a follower of Christ. The Bible has a lot to say about faith. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Again in John 10, 35, Jesus said, "The scripture cannot be broken." Now there are those, even Christians, who try to break the scripture, a verse perhaps that does not fit their particular brand of theology. I'll give you one example, Acts 2:38, where Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, those that don't like this particular verse, they don't like any verses that speak about baptism as being a part of our salvation process. They'll use other verses of Scripture to speak against this, such as Romans 10:13, where the Apostle Paul says, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." They therefore mistakenly assume that baptism cannot have anything to do with our salvation. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved, and they stop right there. That proves it. That's the only verse they're going to think about. This is an ironclad guarantee that all you have to do is call upon the name of Jesus and you will be saved. Well, the Bible talks about the fact that we are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not just some of the words, but by every word. And this is what Satan tempted Jesus with. He said, "It is written, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan knew he was hungry. And Jesus answered this scripture by saying, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." He was quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, since we are going to be judged by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we need to know this word. We need to know what God says in his word, not by our own particular interpretation of what we think that he has said, but what he has actually said in his word. For this is how we will be judged, by the word of Christ, not by a faulty interpretation of the word. Now, the best theologian you will ever meet, and you probably meet him every day, is Satan himself. He knows the word of God far better than you know it. And he uses the word of God to speak against God. And if you don't know what the Word of God says, you're in trouble right from the start. Now, I want to give you an example of why it's important to listen to God's Word and not your own thoughts about what God has said. In Isaiah 55, it says this, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon him. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So the Word of God is extremely important, and not our thoughts, but it is God's thoughts and God's Word that we must know, and we must live by God's Word, not our own thoughts. Now, I said I wanted to talk to you about faith, and I was reading the book of Hebrews this morning, and I recognized that the heroes of the faith are found in chapter 11, 12, and 13 of the book of Hebrews. So I'm going to bring that to your attention this morning. And in every instance, when the Apostle Paul talks about those who live by faith, we see that faith was always accompanied by obedience. And there was not really any faith apart from obedience. So let's look at the book of Hebrews this morning, beginning with the 11th chapter, and see what it says here about faith. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Let me give you a little example of faith. My wife died on August 25th, 2021, just about 6 months ago. We had been married 65 years, and she died on our wedding anniversary about 3:30 in the morning. Now, I have faith that I will see her again, and my son that died also when he was born, some 64 years ago. And I believe that I will see them again and be reunited with them and also others of my loved ones. Now, that's what faith is, in a sense. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. I hope for that, and I have confidence that I will see my wife and children again and all those who are dear to me. And this is the hope of every Christian who has lost someone who has departed and has gone to be with Christ. We know that our loved ones are with Christ, and that we have the faith that we are going to see them again. And so, praise God, this is what faith is. Now let's go back to the book of Hebrews. In the second verse it says, "For by faith the elders obtained a good report." And the third verse, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Now, this is where we depart from the world. The world, through its science, falsely so-called science, says that, well, the world began with something, and it exploded, and everything came about by that. But the Bible says here in the book of Hebrews that God made the world out of nothing, that there was nothing that existed before God created it. And so by faith we believe that this is how God created the world. And that's what it says in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now let's go again back to the book of Hebrews, and in verse 4 of the 11th chapter, it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it being dead yet speaketh." Now that's interesting, because Donna died, but she is still speaking through this radio program, because her death benefit has provided money for the program. And I could say that is true of all of those faithful witnesses who have died. They still speak by their testimony. And you're going to see that as we go through the book of Hebrews. You're going to see in every instance, faith is accompanied by obedience. And we see that the person had faith because he did what he believed. Now let's continue with the book of Hebrews in 11th chapter and verse 5. "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith," this is the sixth verse, "but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now this reminds me of the scripture in Romans where Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now this is what we're reading about in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the just that live by faith. And again, let's read in the 7th verse from the 11th chapter. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God in things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Let's go on in the 8th verse here. "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, and not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Now let's go back and talk about Noah a little bit. He built an ark according to the direction of God, and he had specific plans for the ark. And by it, he was able to save his own family, which consisted of him and his wife and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their three wives. But when he built the ark, it had not rained. Nobody even knew what rain was. And so you see that Noah obeyed, and he was doing that which God told him to do by faith. Next, we are told in the book of Hebrews that Abraham went out when he was called from the country where he lived to a land that he would be shown by God. He didn't know where he was going. He only knew who he was following. And he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God, The problem is he didn't find it there. So he's still looking. He was still looking for it when he went out and obeyed. But the point is he had to get up and go. Now many people would like God to talk to them. And they say, well, maybe someday God will talk to me. Well, God doesn't use people that sit on their backside and don't go anyplace. God uses people that are already going somewhere. God cannot direct you if you're not going. So you need to get up, just like Abraham did and journeyed several hundred miles to a land that he didn't know about. You need to get out of the couch, get out of your easy chair, walk a few hundred feet to your front door, get into your car, and go to church. You need to go. God can't direct you if you're not going. We say, well, I don't have a car. Okay, then get up out of your couch, get going, walk to church. Well, I don't have a church that's near me. Well, there is a church that's near you. I guarantee you that. And you need to get there. Get up and go. God is not going to direct you if you're not going anyplace. You need to go to church. If you can't do the simple thing of getting up, going, and walking, and going for God somewhere, then God will not use you. God does not use people who sit on their backside and never get up and never get going. Now, I have to do this every day. I have to get up out of bed, get dressed. And so many times I like to stay in bed and sleep for a little while longer. And I do that sometimes, but I know that that's not the best thing for me to do. The best thing for me to do is to get up, get dressed, get going. And God is not going to use me if I don't get going somewhere. He can't direct me if I'm still laying in bed or sitting on the couch or sitting in my easy chair in the comfort and watching other people going, turn the television on, be a couch potato, and watch other people doing things while I'm not doing anything. That's one reason I'm doing this radio program. I got to get up, get out, get to my office, turn the computer on, go to the website where I can record the message for the people that are going to be listening to it. I got to do that. I got to be doing something. I got to get up and go calling on somebody, somebody who's sick, somebody who needs to hear the message of Christ, somebody who's in a nursing home, someone who's rehabbing, like my brother and I are going to do later on today. We're going to go see Henry in the Sea Pines Nursing Home. My brother Ron Hipwell and I are going to take communion to him, anoint him with oil. And that's what we need to do. We need to be doing something. So I'm encouraging you, if you're discouraged, get up, get going, do something for God. Now I want to tell you about three people that are like some church members. These three men, George, Joe, and Jack, decided they wanted to take a bicycle built for three and pedal up the mountain road to the top of the mountain one day. And so they got on the bike and they started pedaling. And they pedaled all the way up and it took them a long time to get to the top of the mountain. They finally got there. And George, the guy who was in the front seat, was sweating like a dog and he was really tired and worn out. He said, man, that was really tough. The guy in the middle seat who was pedaling said, well, I didn't think it was tough at all. I hardly had to pedal at all. I was just enjoying the sights as we went up. It was so beautiful. I couldn't take my eyes off of all the beautiful sights. And then Jack, who was also at the top of the mountain, panting and sweating and breathing heavily, said, man, I also had a really hard time going up the mountain. I was so afraid we were going to fall off the bike at every bump in the road. I had to keep my eyes on the road. I had my feet on the brakes all the way up the mountain. Now there are those in the church like that. There are the leaders who are doing everything they can to lift up Christ and bring other people to Jesus Christ. And then there are those that are just sitting in the pew looking and waiting and seeing what's going on, like the guy in the middle seat of the bicycle, just pedaling, not really pedaling along, And then there's guys in the church, people in the church, both male and female, who got their feet on their brake all the way, wherever the church is going, they're against it. No, we can't do that. I don't like the preacher. I don't like his sermons. I don't like the people. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like the singing. I don't like all the things about, man, they got their feet on their brakes all the way, preventing the church from fulfilling its mission. Now, there's one more story I'd like to tell you about the preacher in the town that every Saturday morning he went down to the train station to see the giant locomotive come through the train station and take off again. And the elders of the church, they came to him and said, "Now, Pastor, we understand that you're doing a lot of good work here, but I don't understand. Why are you going down to the train station every Saturday morning to see this train go through this train station?" The pastor said, "Well, it's this way. You see, this is the only thing I don't have to push that train to get things done in the church. And I love to see that train go all by itself, all on its own, this powerful locomotive." But let's get back to the book of Hebrews now. 11th chapter in the 11th verse. It says here, "Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable." Now, when I first read this verse several years ago, I was reminded of the fact that when Sarah overheard that she was going to have a child, that she laughed. And I thought, she must be laughing because she couldn't believe it. But then I realized after reading it just now that maybe she was laughing with joy that she was told she was going to have a child. What a beautiful, beautiful thing this would be. And here the Apostle Paul was saying that she believed, and it was because of her faith that she was able to have this child. Now let's look at the 12th verse where the Apostle Paul says, the 13th verse, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Now every Christian looks forward to the time when Jesus returns. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that he shall return for his people, and that he's going to come with them and bring the city of God with him. And we shall inherit the land. We shall inherit that city. So every child of God knows what the scriptures teach, that there is a future for the child of God, and the future is to be with Christ and to be with God throughout eternity. And this is the future that you can have when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And I'm praying that you will accept him today and believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of your sins, confess him as your Lord, be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the promises to you and your children, and as many as far off as the Lord our God shall call. God bless you. We're out of time. See you next week. Pastor Derry here with Missions for Christ International. MissionsForChrist.org is our website. Bye-bye. You can contact me through our website, missionsforchrist.org, or if you want to, you can give me a call on the phone. My number is 407-517-8363. 407-517-8363. Bye-bye for now, and may God richly bless you. Get out and do something for Christ today.
Everybody put your hands together that need a miracle. Everybody that need a miracle in this room, y'all just help me say this real quick. Georgia song. Let's go to work here. There's a miracle with my name on it. There is a
miracle.
Put your hands
with my name on it.
There is a
miracle.
Oh yeah.
With my name on it.
You know that the devil can't
do that.
I wish y'all put your hands together like that was in the whole church. With my name on it, there is a
miracle.
Oh yeah,
with my name on it,
there is
a miracle. With my name on it,
you know that the devil
can't do nothing
about it. Oh yeah,
can I
just say this real quick? Satan is always trying to put my faith to the test. He comes in and make a mess. I know the Lord is about to bless. You know there's a miracle with my name on it. There is a
miracle.
You're looking for, but whatever you need, anybody know God's got it. Whatever you need, He will supply it. Every time I turn around, He keeps on blessing me. Oh, oh,
oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, it's mine. The devil don't like it because I'm blessed. The devil. He keeps on making a way.
I tell y'all what God is doing for me right now.
God's healing me from the things of my past.
it don't bother me no more.
He's solving the pain I had.
Thank you, Jesus.
Today is a new day. He gave me sunshine for rain.
It's a beautiful day today.
I feel better.
You know why?
Because my past is
because I have the power to speak it.
You can feel better. Because your past is the past.
Let me share this with you.
God's healing me from the things of my past. He's soothing the pain I had. So today is a new day. He gave me sunshine for rain. I feel better because my past is my past. Your past is the past.
This is my prayer I told the Lord.
Lord, please grant to me
the full ability.
The full ability.
To remember.
To remember to forget.
Those things.
Those things that damage me.
I know you made
all things new.
Once I moved out of the way and gave it all.
Gave my pain to you.
But I know that it's a process. But I thank God today for progress. Come on, lift those hands and help me say it. Is there anybody out there been healed in your past? Come on. It's time to move forward. Oh, it's celebration time. Go ahead and dry those tears. It's going to be all right, I promise you.
Today is a new day.
Today is a new day. Come on, sing along with me.
I feel better.
If you feel better, come on, sing along with me.
I feel better.
Now go ahead and get your groove in the spirit. Come on.
I feel better.
It's time to dry those tears. Come on. Now say
live,
grow, and move on.
Move on.
Say it again.
Presence is here. Sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it's the spirit of the living God.
There is a sweet anointing in this sanctuary.
Hallelujah.
There
speak. Come on, Martha, sing it.
Come and lay down the burdens you have carried, for in the sanctuary God is here.
God is here. In the atmosphere.
Come and lay down.
Come
and lay
down. You don't have to carry that
burden. The burdens you have carried. For in the sanctuary,
you know God is here.
God is here.
If you agree, lift a hand and say it again.
Listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
And I am so grateful he kept me. Oh,
God held me together, made sure that I could lose my mind.
Not this time.
Not this
my struggles. It get hard sometimes, y'all.
Disappointments too.
Mystery to me.
just what he wants.
The Lord.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
Truly, truly. will do it if you give him a chance. And I'm telling you, he's already proved that he can do anything. So give him a chance. Now there's so many times I called on him, regardless of the circumstance. He was there, so now I've devoted my life to serving him. It's easy for him, cause all the time he was there for me. Yeah, I don't.